Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
All right, today we're continuing our series called Who You Are. And last week we looked at God being a way maker. This week we're going to look at Him being a miracle worker. And so I think, DJ, if you got your volume up, there's a small little clip. So if you're paying attention to that, you know the next two sermons too. But if you're wondering what the rest of the song sounds like, the name of the song is actually Waymaker. And it's actually written by Nigerian praise and worship leader. But Michael W. Smith has kind of made it famous over here. And the live version is very powerful. But if you've ever been to a concert, you realize the live versions kind of go on and on and on, and this one's about 7.5 minutes long, so just a small clip for you. But today, our scripture is going to be Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 46 through 52. Right before this passage takes place, the disciples and Jesus are traveling, and they're going through these different towns. They're making their way to Jerusalem. They're making their way for Jesus' final entry into Jerusalem, and so now that's where they are, and they're going through this town called Jericho, and that's where we pick up our scripture today. If you can, and your health allows you, if you will please stand in honor and reverence of the reading of the gospel this morning. Verse 46 starts this way, and it says, they came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. But many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying, take heart, get up, he is calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, my teacher, my rabbi, let me see again. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. This is the word of God given for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart gathered here be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, so last week we had kind of one big theme, one big point, one big idea, and I want you to look at this week's as well. And I'm going to do this a little bit different. So my left side over here, you're going to tell the right side that God is what? Okay, that was pitiful. Right side, you're now going to tell the left side that God is a
miracle worker.
Now all together we're going to say that God is a much better. Now, I want to give you a disclaimer. The miracles don't always come the way we want them. Okay? I said that last week. We don't always get the way made that we want. We don't always get the miracle that we want. I stood here for an hour this morning begging. God, make a miracle. Man, that'd be so cool, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know, and I'm over here trying to like, boom, kick heat on. And I said, God, just make it a little bit warmer in here. The heat didn't kick on, did it? The temperature went up 4 degrees, though. Sometimes the miracle happens. It's just not the way we intended, and it's not the miracle we wanted. But God still works miracles. So the first thing that we're going to look at, God is a miracle worker because, click me through there, boss man, there's always mercy. There's always mercy. Mercy is often described as not getting what we deserve in regards to forgiveness. Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus, son of David. That's a Messiah term. He's saying, Jesus, the Messiah, have mercy on me. But the crowds tried to silence him. Could you imagine being there and you're sitting outside the gate, you're never allowed to be involved with other people, and you hear Jesus is coming, you have the faith to believe, and you start crying out, Jesus, you're the Messiah, have mercy on me. And all the church people turn around and go, shh, be quiet. Don't bother him with that. So what does he do? I love his response because I think his response should oftentimes be our response, especially in our prayer life. It says he gets louder. He says, I don't care if it says, if I don't feel it right now. I don't care if there's an obstacle in the way. I know God's a miracle worker, so I'm going to get louder. Jesus, the Messiah, have mercy on me. And it was obviously loud enough that it gets Jesus' attention. I don't know if you remember back this far or not, but the devotional we did for our Lenten season, we recited that prayer throughout the entire time. We said, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. And then it came with a title. At first it started, me a sinner. Then it was me a son or daughter. And then it was me a saint. But a lot of times that prayer is just shortened to Jesus, have mercy. Sometimes it's just have mercy. It became a prayer that the people breathe as they walk. They just said it with their breath. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Because they knew they needed God's mercy. Lamentations has some insight to this. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. I don't want to speak for your life, but I'm very thankful that there are new mercies every morning. Because every morning I need God not to give me what I deserve. And I don't know if anybody else ever feels that way, but I'm very thankful for that. All right, the second way that we know that God is a miracle worker is because He calls for us. I think this is just absolutely fascinating. But verses 49 and 50 say this. Jesus stood still. He doesn't move. He stops in the midst of the crowd. He could have easily have walked to the man, but he doesn't. Jesus never moves. God never moves. He always calls us to come to Him. There has to be action on our part. So it says, Jesus stood still and he said, call him here. So then they go and they say, take heart. Get up. He's actually calling for you. Come on. And look at what happens in verse 50. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. Beggars typically had nothing. Bartimaeus has a cloak. A cloak to a Jewish man would have been a very valuable piece of clothing. But he throws it off. And a lot of scholars debate, why did he throw it off? Some say he realized he would no longer need it. Well, the disciples even had cloaks, so I'm not buying that. But here's what I think, in my humble opinion. I think maybe this cloak, because he was blind, had gotten in his way before. It might have tripped him up. He might have stepped on it like I do mine sometimes. It might have slowed him down. It might have got caught on somebody else. They might have stepped on it. Long story short, it might have kept him from getting to Jesus as fast as he could. So he throws it off. So my question today is, what cloaks do we have? Because see, we have cloaks too, don't we? We have things that we need to just kind of lay to the side because they're slowing us down from getting to Jesus. And sometimes they're big things. And sometimes they're habits and addictions. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's family. Our families can keep us from Jesus sometimes. I know that sounds crazy, but we can put our families way above where God should be. How about our jobs? Has our jobs ever kept us from Jesus at times? Maybe y'all work with some good Christian people. I used to work with people that made it hard to be a Christian. And I loved them. I loved most of them to death. And I still love them because I still go and work for them now. They call and they say, I need help. And I'll say, I'll come help you. But there's some who are no longer there. They made it hard to be a Christian. Y'all, thank you. I'm about to say, y'all looking at me like I'm a bad person. We all, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. But Bartimaeus threw off his cloak because he knew Jesus was a miracle worker. And I think today maybe there's some cloaks that need to come off to free us so that we can run freely. We can spring up and we can go to Jesus. The third way that Jesus is a miracle worker that we see is that he restores sight. Jesus asked Bartimaeus an interesting question. He says, what do you want me to do for you? How many of you would love to hear Jesus say that to you? That'd be great, wouldn't it? And he says, teacher, I want to see. It said, my translation that I read from said again. I thought that was interesting too. Kind of infers that Bartimaeus once saw and now he's not, but it says again, I want to see again. But Jesus realizes this is much deeper than his eyesight. That he was not only physically blind, but he was spiritually blind, and he wants to be healed of both. And we know from the context that he is. Because Jesus says, go. Some translations say, some of the ones you were reading might have said, your faith has healed you, not made you well. Some says it has healed you. Well, he healed him by his sight, but his faith in Jesus, your faith in Christ, heals you from spiritual blindness. Can we agree on that? I mean, that's what the gospel is all about, is that I once was lost, now I'm found. I once was blind, now I... Bartimaeus could now see. But what does he do with this sight? He doesn't run home and tell daddy. He doesn't run. He follows Jesus. Now remember where Jesus is headed. He's headed to Jerusalem. Now they don't know what that means yet, but Jesus does. He's headed to die. Now we don't know how long Bartimaeus stays. We don't know if he becomes a part of the bigger church. We don't know. But we know in this moment he can see and he's physically healed, but he cared much more that he was spiritually healed. Because it says he followed Jesus. There's an old song by a group called New Song. See what I did there? Yeah, we used to ask at the skating rink, hey, can you play New Song? Y'all remember the skating rink at Roebuck? It was the good old days. But we used to go up and say, hey, can you play New Song? And I'd say, well, which one? They'll say, no, the group. And they thought we were talking, anyway, you had to be there. It was really funny back in the day, wasn't it, Amy? Amy was there, she knows. But the title of the song is Miracles. And it was my favorite song growing up. The words say this, it says, I never saw a man that walked on water. I never heard a voice that could calm the sea, raise the dead or feed 5,000, but in my heart I do believe. I was in a desperate situation, drowning in a sea of my own sin. And it would take a miracle to save me. And that's when I reached toward heaven, felt someone touch me. I looked up and I saw him. And I believe in miracles. I'm a miracle myself. And I believe the good Lord hears the ones who cry for help. And after all that he has done for me, I believe. I do believe in miracles. You see, my favorite miracle in all of Scripture, my favorite miracle anywhere, is that Christ died and forgave me. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's the biggest one he could have ever done. He did a lot of miraculous things, and I truly believe they all happened. But none of them impacted my eternity until he reached down and saved me. So at some point, we've all been spiritually blind, and sometimes we're still spiritually blind for the first time. Sometimes it's the 100th time. And we need God to reach down. We need God to be a miracle worker. And we need to regain our sight. So this man was not only the miracle that happened that day for everybody else to see, but he was also the miracle to go and to tell others about Jesus. And what good is a miracle if we keep it for ourselves? That's the whole point of what we call church. Is that we remember when Sundays, I hope y'all have a good time when you're here, but really, it's my job to feed you with material so that you can leave this place and tell others about what you experienced here. It's much better if we leave this place and we all tell somebody this week, I believe in miracles because I'm a miracle. Let me tell you what God did for me. If we all did that, I don't know how many people are sitting right here right now, but we could really start to change our world. Transform our world is the verbiage we use. Just by telling about the miracle working that Christ has done for us. So as we prepare to leave today, I want you to hear these words as if they were being spoken directly to you. Take heart. Get up. The miracle worker is calling you. Throw down your cloak and hear the Savior ask, what do you want me to do for you? Then receive his mercy, receive the miracle, and then pursue after Jesus in such a way that others will know that we are indeed walking miracles, because our God is a miracle worker. And as the song said, after all that he has done for me, I do believe that I believe in miracles. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.